Welcome back, everybody. This is Oscar Talk with yours truly, Chris Tapley of InContention.com and Ann Thompson of Thompson on Hollywood. This is the final Oscar Talk of the year on December 31st. So we're bidding farewell to the year. How was your holiday, first of all, Ann?
It was great. You know, I'm being a sluggish, slothful, overeating fool and enjoying hanging out with my daughter. And, you know, intense exercise and dieting are in my future.
Nice. Well, I had dieting in my holiday experience with a stomach flu that wouldn't allow me to eat too much. But hey, 'tis the season. I'm in North Carolina now, actually. You're in L.A. still, right?
Yep, I'm in my usual location.
Cross-country podcast.
Well, how is yours? All the family?
Yeah, you know, we came down to Raleigh. I'm outside of Raleigh with my parents now, and April and I drove up to Ohio for Christmas to see her folks and drove back. And it's been a big two-week excursion, but I'm ready to get back. This is we're recording on the 30th, but this will be up on the 31st, and I'll be on a plane, hopefully.
So there have been a lot of things going on. I mean, we've moved from the sort of end of the critics groups. I guess the National Society is still going to weigh in, but
is there any chance that they change things up? Do they
don't have that much impact. I just don't believe they do.
No, I mean, do you think there's any chance they go with anything but Social Network?
They might, just to, but that, I mean, that clearly that's the consensus title, the one that everybody seems to agree on, and there aren't any people who feel strongly against it, so it keeps winning.
Right.
It's, you know, you might have people who are supporting Black Swan or Another Year or Winter's Bone or Kids Are All Right, but they're all factions, and then Social Network gets everything
right
in the end.
Well, let's talk about that real quick, because just before the holiday, the last kind of chart update I did for Gurus and for my site and everything, I decided to just kind of lay everything out the way, you know, the critics' precursor circuit has handed it to us. So naturally put Social Network at the top. But like you and like Carger, I still feel like The King's Speech is the one that gets people to jump out of their seat and applaud at the end of the film.
That is it, and that is what's important. And it's also just a question of sort of recognizing the Academy taste. I mean, who these people are and what they like. I know that it played well for them. And I know that on the circuit, you know, you get around and you talk to everywhere I go. I mean, it's like everybody's looking at their screeners. You know, I'm going to parties or dinners or whatever. Everybody's talking about the films. And they're talking about the films in a very consistent way. I mean, they love King's Speech. They admire Social Network. They are befuddled by Inception. It's hilarious.
Of course.
There's one dinner party where everybody was in the living room sort of going, what was that? What, you know, and it was like a cliche of adult reaction to Inception. But, you know, they like The Fighter. It's fun, but they don't take it seriously. Some people really like Kids Are All Right. Some people think they don't like the Mark Ruffalo character and the way he's treated. You know, there's just a whole long, you know, you just hear the same thing over and over and over, and it begins to solidify into a picture of what's going on.
Yeah. Well, with this Best Picture race in particular, you know, we've got the guilds coming up, you know, and I think we've already had SAG kind of show their hand, and
it was a very significant indicator.
I think it was too.
Strengths and weakness. You have to give, if you know that the actors are dominating the Academy too, you know, and you know that there's overlap in the membership and so forth, you just have to pay attention.
Yeah. And I mentioned either the last time we talked or the time before, I do think it's interesting that Andrew Garfield wasn't nominated by SAG. I'm not necessarily saying that means something definite, but I think it's interesting. But both films, King's Speech and Social Network, were nominated for the ensemble. I found out today, this doesn't always happen because it's very expensive, but the King's Speech DVD is going out to every member of SAG.
That's like a smart move, actually.
I think the first time that happened was really with Crash.
Correct.
In 2005, and obviously that ended up paying off. So, you know.
Yeah, when you the cost of it is significant, but not, you know, against what the potential benefits are.
Sure. And the other thing is, it's clear that the social network has the more robust campaign right now. It's got the most money to work with, it seems. I think, an Oscar, what's going on is not always what you see on the surface. It's not what's happening with the Critics Awards. It's these things that you just discussed, what's going on in the industry, what people are talking about and how they're discussing these movies. And everybody's watching The Social Network now, maybe a second time, because, what are the critics on about is probably their perception. At the end of the day, though, I just, I like I said, like you and Carger, I'm not sold yet. And screw me, sue me, screw me.
Hello.
Sue me for wanting to advance caution rather than haste on that, but there we are.
It's you just recognize that the King's Speech is a soft love down the middle to the Academy. It just is. It's what they like, and it's what they all like. And the Social Network is a colder, more intellectual. It could win. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. What I'm saying is that it is between those two films, and I agree with you that it is not clearly one or the other right now. I'm still putting my money on King's Speech, but it's going to be deter well when we see well all right. So the Writers Guild, one of the vagaries of our business is that the Writers Guild only deems eligible the movies that are actually signatories, you know, to the Writers Guild
Right.
and of people who are members of the Writers Guild. And if you aren't a member, and if a lot of people choose not to be, or if you're a low budget movie shooting in England or whatever, sometimes they're not signing up. And so you have this situation where David Seidler is not eligible for the King's Speech, but he will likely get an Oscar nomination. And you have, you know, the animated films are not covered by the Writers Guild, so you have Michael Arndt from Toy Story 3 and not being eligible for a Writers Guild, and it's just so silly to me. I mean, I recognize that they have the right to do whatever they want to do, but it just every year you have this syndrome of them, you know, not
Yeah, it's inevitable every
awarding
year. We
the
know.
best films in you know, and it does all it means is that they're giving a boost to something else
Exactly.
instead. They're not hurting the ones that are still going to go through.
Yeah, and the big ones were what? Like you said, The King's Speech, Toy Story 3,
And Winter's
and
Bone.
Winter's Bone, which all three will most likely show up with Oscar nominations. What does that pay?
Also, Derek See in France, Blue
Right.
Valentine, which he's sort of on the edge. I mean,
Right.
he may not get an Oscar nomination.
What do you think
Although there aren't very many for original.
who do you think benefits from those snubs as far as who could maybe show up in WGA now?
Well, maybe.
Not to put you on the spot.
Yeah, you are putting me on the spot. You are. Let me get my list and see if I can figure that out quickly.
What about The Town, for instance? It's something that I actually think it could get an Oscar nomination, but with holes in the eligibility field, maybe it can easily show up with WGA now.
That's
Ra
possible.
rabbit hole.
Well, I think that one has a chance. All right, but let's talk about that. I mean, the other thing that's going on is that the year-end movies are finally opening, and that means that they're getting reviewed, and it means that they're also getting reviewed by the audience, whether they're coming or not. And in the
Right.
case of Rabbit Hole, surprise, surprise. I mean, let's just be honest. Some of the movies that they saved until the very end of the year, they saved to the end of the year for limited release only for a reason. You know, because they're not strong competitors commercially,
Yeah.
and so I mean, it's just sad to say that I really think Rabbit Hole is a great movie, but it is not.
It's not finding an audience.
No. So,
And
do you think that that's going to hurt Nicole Kidman's chances?
I wonder. I think maybe it could, maybe not. Maybe it's
But
not taking into account that people are going to see the movie anyway. Or are they though? That's the thing, because it is a
the
movie that some
writers,
people stay away from.
but the actors will watch it. That's the thing. That what we need to know. Will the Academy actors watch the movie? They need to do that in order to vote for Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Because it's Nicole Kidman, they probably will watch it.
We'll see, I guess. It is one of those things where death of a child, oh, I don't know if I wanna see it.
And the 127 hours issue is still alive and well. There's no
Yeah.
question that people are resisting seeing that, whether
Yeah.
James Franco's grandmother is calling them pussies or not.
Was great.
But and that went very viral. I mean, everybody saw that.
Yeah.
So I think that for Searchlight is doing what they have to do. They're fighting back, with people saying they sat through 127 hours, but it's still weaker than it would be
Yeah.
otherwise.
Well, going back to those scripts, I think the Ghost Rider is something that could be a surprise due to ineligibilities.
Well, Chulodenko and Blumberg are very strong for
Sure.
original screenplay. I think they could win. They're going to get in.
The WGA.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with Mike Leigh's
Original.
not a member, and David Spieler, that whole situation. So both of those are out. So Kids Are All Right kind
So
of
then you
goes straight
got
to the top.
well, I think it would be anyway. I mean, and then Chris Nolan is clearly in there, and the Black Swan guys are
Right.
in there. And
The
then.
fighter probably.
Yes, this looks good for them, and maybe the marginal ones would be Please Give and Hereafter, I guess.
Or maybe even something like Get Low.
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me. I haven't really thought about this until we've started talking about it now, but it's interesting to wonder what could benefit.
And then on the adapted side, you do get 127 Hours, True Grit, Social Network, The Town, and Rabbit Hole. Yeah, that's what happens. That's what'll happen.
I
So that
still I still
comes.
again, I still think the Ghost Rider is something that could show up, but maybe not.
It should. It should. I like that movie very much, and it has support. It definitely has, but it doesn't seem to be registering. Now, that's the kind of movie that's not registering with critics, so it's not getting a boost from them, except for the Europeans. And it's not. It's like, I mean, I'm not sure where The Town is right now. People like it. People really like it, and they like the fighter too, but I don't. It's not winning anything. That's the thing.
Yeah, no passion, so to speak.
Yeah. It's a movie, but people really like it. So you could see something like that. I still maintain sneaking into the top 10 at the expense of something weaker,
Yeah.
like 127 Hours.
Well, another possibility, and this will kind of segue into what we started to talk about, which was year-end releases. There's The Way Back, which is going to be the last DVD to hit, purposefully, by nature of what they have to work with money-wise too. And it's playing in some theater in Covina or whatever.
And it's not, it shouldn't be, it should not. I know people are having trouble finding it. I got some notes along those lines. And it shouldn't be seen on DVD.
Yeah, I agree.
It's such a big, big movie. It's about shooting on these enormous landscapes. That's what it's about.
Well, they're having the guild screenings and whatnot, so hopefully those are well attended.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that a movie like that can hope for. I will be interested to see what happens with it. They're starting to get their campaign gears turning and kind of seeking out advertising here and there. So we'll see. We'll see. The guild circuit on the way.
I don't feel it.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, what I was going to say was the guild circuit on the way is going to be interesting in what it reveals as far as what people finally caught up with.
Yes.
And it happens, it seems to happen every year where there's this or that kind of finally finds its moment with the guilds.
You could have a late-breaking surprise, come through. I mean, I have maintained all along that another year was going to play well with the Academy, for sure. And I'm not counting out, even if SAG didn't go for her, I'm not counting out Leslie Manville
Yeah,
in
I'm
this
not either.
particular case.
I like what Guy said a couple of weeks ago. I mean, there is a British contingent
That's true. It's
to
small, but it is a contingent. And Mike Leigh has always been respected and admired by the Academy over the. But Peter Weir is very respected too. By the director's branch, especially.
Right.
So I went on a rant the other day about the steak eaters
Right.
in the Academy. The
Well picked up piece by you on the Steak Eaters and Kids Are All Right.
yeah, I just suddenly was recognizing how unlikely it was that Lisa Cholodenko would get a director nomination. It just, first of all, you have 10. Best Picture. So there's only going to be five directors, and which five are they going to put in there? And I could just see where it was going, and I it just I was talking to an Oscar campaigner, and she came up with this steak eaters thing, and it just resonated with me. The people who vote, the big red-blooded males, who vote for
Yeah, that's an
gladiators.
old Harvey Weinstein thing. Yeah, the steak eaters, the meat and potatoes eaters, the
Yeah.
rank and file of the industry.
Yeah, and they're real, and they do dominate the Academy, even
Yes.
though the actors are a countervailing force. It's a lot of the craft guilds. It's a lot of those people, and I could see this gay romantic comedy not playing altogether well. And I
Course.
am hearing all these things about Ruffalo. Men get pissed off at the way Ruffalo is treated in the movie. It's very interesting.
Another thing that's interesting, just along similar lines there, and this is an aside, speaking with Janelle Riley from Backstage, we've been wanting to do this thing for a while about the sides that people take in regards to Blue Valentine, between Michelle Williams' character and Ryan Gosling's character. It's really fascinating because each side tends to have a very valid argument that's very passionate, I find, and it doesn't really break down along sex lines. It's not like all the time a guy is on the side of Gosling's character or a girl is on the side of Michelle Williams' character. It's fascinating to me, but yeah, with the Ruffalo thing, I mean, that's something that was problematic for me. Critically speaking of the film, but I've never really thought about it being problematic as far as its awards potential with guys. So.
We'll see. I mean, by the way, I've spoken to plenty of people who love the movie. A lot of people love the movie. So it's but I would have bet the farm that Brokeback Mountain was going to win in its year, and it didn't.
Right.
And so I'm a little nervous about this. And
Well,
it's not just about gay or straight or women's picture either. It's also talking head movie, not big scale, not big history, not big period, not
yeah,
big
I would
stakes.
actually argue Deborah Granik would have a better shot at a nomination than Lisa Chulodenko. Just based on the kind of filmmaking.
On that, yes, but I would actually put Chulodenko's chances ahead of Granik's because she's more of an indie outsider, I think.
Wouldn't you say they both are?
Chulodenko, at least, has been living in LA and functioning here
Right.
and working in television, and she's better known, I think.
Well, speaking of sex, Natalie Portman's pregnancy. How about that?
I found it interesting that certain people were suggesting that this would be a problem for her in terms of her contending for best
Why
actress.
would it be a problem?
I don't know. Like she's a bad girl or something.
Really?
Well, she's not married yet
Yeah, well.
to Mili Pied, the choreographer star of Black Swan that she dances with. I don't know.
I don't remember. Was Rachel Weisz married to Darren Aronofsky
I believe not. I believe
when she
not.
won her Oscar?
And there are a whole lot. I don't think it's a factor.
Yeah, I don't either. It's an interesting little piece of publicity here at the end of the
It
year.
is. It's a lot of publicity, and I actually think that I will say this now. I'm just feeling it that Natalie Portman is in the lead now
Yeah,
for
I do
Best
too.
Actress.
I do too.
It's her year for whatever reason.
Just got that nice Entertainment Weekly cover along with James
Yep.
Franco.
Partly because Franco's the co-host. I think that's why he landed on there.
Well,
The
regardless, it's a real
Oscar.
coup for Searchlight on both counts.
Definitely. Well, they've done a good job with Black Swan. I mean, Black Swan is very interesting. I mean, I wasn't wrong to say that it was a problematic film with the Academy because it turns out that, in fact, many of them are freaked out by the thriller aspects of it, and a lot of the critics didn't approve of it either. But it's still well liked enough that I think it will be effective. But I don't give it a miss,
You don't
like at the
get
top of the chart.
I see. So you don't think it would be one of five?
It might be five.
What do you think about the DGA nominations? Because usually that's what you look to for what the five would be. How do you think those are going to pan out? I was trying to figure that out today.
All right, let's look at that. For sure, we will see Fincher, who is the front runner for Best Director, and I think we will probably see Aronofsky and Nolan and Hooper.
I would say definitely Fincher and Hooper. I'm not sold on Nolan and Aronofsky. In fact, I'm a little more sold on Aronofsky than Nolan, to be honest. But
Well, Nolan, the thing about Inception is that it is incredibly well directed.
yeah, so is The Dark Knight.
Yeah, but this is his original. It's not a sequel, it's not a franchise. He wrote it and directed it,
Sure.
and it's incredibly popular
Well,
and incredibly successful.
he was nominated for Memento by the DGA also, so.
Yeah. I think
Danny Boyle?
Cholodenko has a better chance with the DGA than she does with the Academy, by the way.
I think you gotta let that go in.
You don't think she'll get the DGA either?
No, I personally don't.
Really?
Yeah, I don't, no.
Wow. Okay. All right. And then so I don't see Boyle or the Coens or Mike Leigh.
Who else do we have?
That's it.
Really? No Boyle,
Or
no Coens.
Peter Weir would be another possibility. Or David O. Russell. You think he
I
could get
think
in?
I wouldn't be shocked because it tends to be. It's weird. The DGA tends to not necessarily gravitate toward an esoteric kind of pick where the Academy might.
No, they go more populist. There's no. That's why I think Nolan's in.
Okay,
They could
so
leave. They could leave. It could be the DGA that leaves Hooper out.
no, I don't think that'll
Remember
happen.
Cholodenko, I don't think so either, but I mean Cholodenko has been working happily in television. I mean that is a
And there
TV
are a lot of TV
role.
people in the DGA ranks.
That's right.
Valid point. But I think David O. Russell would be something to watch for there.
Yeah, he could get in there. He could, even with his rep.
Poor Marty.
Nah, it just wasn't his year.
That's okay. That's okay. Looking forward to Hugo Cabret.
Now, speaking of the WGA leaving off people because of their ineligibility, what about the scores?
Oh yeah, the scores. Let's talk about that real quick. True Grit was, despite having plenty of original material, the ridiculous rules ended up going the way we expected it might, with the hymns overpowering the original material. So that's gone. We watched it again last night. I watched it with the family actually, and that one particular, leaning on the everlasting arms, the theme of that is the backbone theme of the film. So that is what you kind of remember from the movie. But that was gone. Black Swan, I don't think anybody ever really expected that to make it. It's so dominated by Tchaikovsky. What were the others? Randy Newman did not submit. He never does. So Toy Story 3 is off the list.
Why is that?
You have to submit your score, and he just doesn't do it. He didn't do it for Princess and the Frog last year.
What about but he gets song nominations.
Yeah, that's a different. I guess that's a
Oh.
different process,
I didn't know that. Interesting.
but what were the well, there was another original score that was deemed ineligible. Oh, The Kids Are All Right was deemed ineligible, from Carter Burwell also because of so many songs, and The Fighter as well from Michael Brook was deemed ineligible, but I frankly don't really remember the scores from either film.
So that would leave us with Desplat for the King's Speech. I'm pronouncing it wrong. Desplat, I guess.
Hans Zimmer for sure.
Absolutely, he could win this year. Elfman for Alice
Elfman
in
is a
Wonderland.
good possibility. John Powell for How to Train Your Dragon, that's still one of the year's best scores, I think. I'll be interested to see if the Social Network squeezes in. I'd love it. I'd love for that and Tron Legacy to get in. I think they're the two best scores of the year, but
I don't think that Daft Punk and Trent Reznor are the target.
of course, yeah, it's
They don't
tough.
hit the target demo, I'm afraid. But I have the Social Network here as a possibility.
I still have Rachel Portman getting in. an old fave from the 90s, and it's a very beautiful score for Never Let Me Go. So, one score
I
that I
know that.
think. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say that that film, The Fate of Never Let Me Go, is just one of those things where a movie that a lot of people really admire, and I always thought the Academy would admire it for all of its virtues, but because it failed so miserably at the box office, it just went away, and I think it's really too bad.
I don't think anything could have been done differently, really, either.
No.
There's no other place to release it. There's no other way to release it. It was staggered in the early fall, and what else can you do? But the one other score I would mention is the Ghost Rider from Desplat. Beautiful piano score that is really underrated, and one or two critics groups remembered it, I think. But that's a possibility, I think. But beyond that, I mean, maybe A.R. Rahman from 127.
Yeah, that's a possibility. What a so are you so that means that Toy Story 3 will never get even nominated
Yeah,
because of this.
it's out, yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. All right. Did you have questions?
Yeah, I've got a couple of reader questions. Let's see. This one I wanted to address because I don't want to say I think it's a silly question, but people keep mentioning it, and I just kind of think they're coming at it wrong. This is from Maxim. Asks, do you think that Natalie Portman is in a better position to win an Oscar this year than Mickey Rourke or Ellen Burstyn were when they were nominated for Aronofsky's films? I just think those were different scenarios. With Mickey Rourke in particular, that was a tough performance it was going up against, and I actually thought he would win. I was really caught up in kind of the buzz of those last few weeks going into the Oscars. But going up against Sean Penn and Milk, I mean, that's an Academy performance if there ever was one. And then Ellen Burstyn, you're talking about the year that Julia Roberts won for Erin
Erin
Brockovich. There was no
Brockovich.
way that she was going to lose that Oscar. So this year, it's not as is kind of it's
People
not the
don't
same
think
kind of
that way
thing.
either. They just don't think that in that way. It's each individual performer, each individual year, each individual set of, like I said earlier, it's Natalie Portman's year. It has more to do with her, not just the fact that she nailed this particular performance. But about her whole career and where she is right now. It's just the way it is. It's a zeitgeisty kind of thing that happens.
Yeah,
Sorry.
totally.
I know, but I think it is.
Gonna let you address this one. This is
And Bridges, Jeff Bridges last year. I mean, for Crazy Heart, and now it's just so cool to see Jeff Bridges be in this entirely different place all of a sudden than he was with True Grit too. It's great. It's like he's a movie star in a way that he never was for his entire career.
Yeah, it's true. For this next question, I'm gonna have a bit of fun. I see Guy is on Skype. I'm gonna see if I can drop in on him real fast. Let's see. Come on, Guy. You're doing nothing else. I know you're just sitting around. It says connecting.
I see.
There we go. I guess he's off getting tea and biscuits somewhere. It would have been cool. It doesn't look like he's there. Okay, so he wasn't there. I'm gonna let you answer this question, though. What gives an actor or an actress in a foreign film the momentum needed to get a nod? The last Best Actor nod went to Bardem in 2000 and Best Actress Cruise in 2006, although Marion Cotillard was nominated for and won. So misses that. But what gave them that momentum or buzz? I'm asking for the sake of Edgar Ramirez, who would not be eligible. Bardem again, the woman from Mother, I don't want to pronounce her name because I'll get it wrong. Tilda Swinton. If their performances were in domestic films, they would be locks. But now I feel just lucky just to get two of these. That is from Yi,
What you have to
YIH.
have is a foreign film that actually becomes a hit in this country. And in the case of Marion Cotillard, the Edith Piaf movie actually did well here. And not only did they did it do well, but she had Bob Burney's machine behind her, and she came and she campaigned and she worked it, and she was charming and beautiful and everything. Penelope Cruz has worked her very, very hard with the, you know, to become sort of a popular figure in the community. You know, you have to let them know you and become part of the circuit and the whole, you know, dog and pony show that goes on. But if you have a very obscure, small scale foreign film that the critics aren't even responding to, and you're not winning, both of those, both Beautiful and I Am Love, would have had to score big with the critics groups, and then they would have had a chance, or the, and then they might have had some momentum to get some box office too. It just becomes a numbers game in the end. You know, if you can't get enough people to see something, it can't happen.
So can we call that a failure of critics?
No, I think that they genuinely didn't respond unanimously enough to Tilda Swinton and I Am Love, or unanimously enough to Javier Bardem and Beautiful. That movie has supporters and detractors. Most people rave about his performance, but again, this is the other thing we were talking about before, is these grim movies that are so difficult to sit through and so painful become movies that people just don't watch.
Yeah. Well, ooh, guys, guy just tried to call me. We're gonna do it again. I don't care.
All right, go for it.
Come on, guy. There he is. You there? Guy Lodge.
Hello?
Whoa. There you are.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think I just flipped a switch somewhere.
We're recording Oscar Talk. You're live.
Oh, wow. I wasn't
Chris and I are
You
like
got
little
me.
children. We're like, hee.
We got you, man. We've got two more reader questions. We're going to involve you on these, I think.
Oh,
I just saw that
fantastic.
you were on Skype. I was like, screw it, let's try to call Guy.
Yeah, no, sorry. I missed your first. I just saw you called now. I had something on the stove, and then
Told
I
you. Told you he was
just
cooking
found it back.
something.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do this one. Of any acting category, who do you think has the biggest shot at Tommy Lee Jones slash Maggie Gyllenhaal nom? In other words, getting nominated without many precursors whatsoever, like an Ed Harris or a
Yes,
DiCaprio.
someone like coming out of nowhere.
What do you think?
Ah, that's an interesting one. I almost wonder if it couldn't be someone like Tilda Swinton coming out of nowhere for I Am Love. I'm so intrigued by that fifth best actress slot that I think could go so many ways. I think that's almost the place it could happen.
You don't think that will be Leslie Manville?
I think she's the one I'm currently betting on, but sometimes, sometimes just a random comes out of nowhere and
Or a
you don't
Nicole
see it coming.
Kidman falls out or something.
Exactly,
Yeah.
which I'm kind of worried about.
Well, like Tommy Lee Jones was a big surprise a couple of years ago, I think, when
Exactly.
despite being a great performance, I mean, he did not show up at all in the precursors, and then suddenly there he was.
It often happens when there's one slot that could go a lot of ways, and it's where the small band of number one votes suddenly really
Right.
counts for something. I'm trying to think of like in the other categories where,
Yeah, I think
maybe
actor's
is there,
fairly solid. I think the supporting categories are very open, though. They're
I
not
mean,
all.
is there maybe some love for Barbara Hershey out there? Because there's, it's been Mila Kunis so far for Black Swan, but maybe she has some admirers in the
Yeah,
actors branch.
people have been talking about her actually on
And
the circuit.
that happens because, just an example that leaps to mind is Jackie Brown. I think it was like Sam Jackson and Pam Grier were getting all the attention, and then
Exactly.
suddenly Robert Forster got the Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
Which had to do with the real popularity of that particular guy in the community. Yeah.
That was from JJ1. Thank you, JJ. And this last question is from Andre. What is your favorite movie quote, monologue, or dialogue from 2010, and why? Take it away, Anne.
I am blowing this. How about you, Guy? I'll think about it.
I have a couple of line readings from this year that I really, really love. And probably near the top of the list is Mila Kunis in Black Swan. after kind of face off with Barbara Hirsch in the corridor, and just the way she says, "She's a trip." It's absolutely one of my favorite lines and moments of the year. And I think in terms of a longer kind of scene and a piece of writing, I think Leslie Manville's final meltdown in Another Year with Ruth Sheen, where she finally kind of lays it all bare, I thought that was just a stunning piece of writing and performing.
I'll do the ensemble scene at the end, the dinner scene where Annette Bening discovers her that the sperm donor's having an affair with her partner, Julianne Moore. That scene is a tour de
It's
force,
a
I think.
great scene.
Mine is owed to Charles Portis, but the way Dakin Matthews delivers it is exceptional. I do not entertain hypotheticals. I find the world as it is vexing enough. That's a
He's
great
my
line.
favorite performer in that film, I've got to say. I think he's spectacularly good.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Well, this has been a long and meandering podcast. You'll hear it when it goes up, Guy. Thank you for being around.
I like cameo
Happy New Year,
appearances.
Guy.
Yes, and Happy New
And to
Year
you.
to both of you guys, and Happy New
You
Year to
got.
all the listeners as well.
And I'll be watching White Material tonight, by the way.
I'm glad to hear it.
That's a whole Twitter exchange that you can edit out, Chris.
Nope, staying in there. This is going to be a sloppy podcast to wrap up the year, and I don't care. Goodbye, 2010. Goodbye, you two. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.